Wow, what an amazing truth. By God's grace, we're saved. I just love that song. When we were we're singing a song, I go, now, I got to go up next. It's just so good to be thinking about that. So, my name is Mike Anderson. I am one of the pastors here. I'm bivocational. In my case, I work full-time at Iowa State, and 30 years before that, I worked in industry. So I'm teaching in Iowa State, and we're going through Proverbs on Sunday mornings this summer. Kind of cool, lots of tidbits in there, a lot of helpful things, and really, just a large collection of wisdom. It's how God designed things to work. Now, several of the Proverbs, a lot of them we're going to go through today, in fact, we're not going to go through them, I'm just going to highlight a few things, are short verses that contrast between that wise path and the foolish path. And we choose what path we're going to walk on. I just love this. It's what we used to do in youth group. We talked about this a lot. So the question is, we're talking about in training. Well, who is in training and who is in need of training? Don't I know it all? I've graduated from Iowa State. I've been in industry. We all have seen a lot in our lives. What's this? What do you mean, Mike, about being in training? Well, youth here obviously need training. Teens, adults, we need training. Young and old, everyone here. And everybody online. We all need training. If we walk wisely, we will understand that God has this design for us, the way things are made to work. And if we choose to live according to that design. So pray with me, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much that you have bought us back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. Lord, open the eyes of our heart this morning to see you and your word, to see that truth, this wise path. Lord, we want to see your glorious majesty, your power, your holiness and love for us. So lead us through your word this morning, in Jesus' name. All right. So, say we're going through Proverbs, but the first verse we're going to look at here is actually in 1 Timothy. It's it's in two sections here, two slides. It talks about the training aspect in the CSB, training ourselves for godliness. It says there, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds a promise for the present life and the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive because we have put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. So in context here, the pointless and silly myths are referring to things that false teachers will bring up in later times. But the verse here talks about training applying to all people. Training for godliness applies to all those of any age who believe, something that we are going to look at here. So let's look at physical training. There's an analogy here that's given. A physical training, physical discipline of the body is of a limited benefit, it says there, right? So there's some benefit, but it's limited. So it's an analogy given for us to compare spiritual things to physical things. So God gives us this for a reason. So what can we observe from this? Well, physical discipline has some benefit. Okay. In my younger days, I ran for exercise regularly. And for 30 years in industry that I mentioned about, I traveled much in my workplace role. So as far as physical discipline, my preference was to swim laps. But because I traveled so much, it was hard to take the pool with me. So in order to find it in the rural areas where I traveled. But one thing I could do was easily pack a set of running shoes and clothes and things like that. Didn't take much in the suitcase. So that's what I chose to do. So how is physical discipline of benefit? Well, it's needed for us to be in better physical condition. And it can allow us to physically function and work more like we were meant to be functioning. That was one part of that analogy. So what I found was, for me, that was helpful was to get this discipline in my life was not automatic, so I had to get it in my schedule. For me, I chose 3 to 5 days a week and even added some weights in when I could. I had to make it happen or it wouldn't happen. So running did my body no good if I didn't do it. If I just read about it, it didn't do me any good. I had to do it. So a trainer could also be something that could help. A trainer can bring their skill to the table to tailor their suggestions on what I was doing for my running regime and so forth. Just like people that have expertise in other areas can help you as well. It also helped to do it with others, right? To do it alone is exercising can be a little bit challenging. Keep it up. So endurance, physical training is a benefit when you keep it going. And then it gets down to motivation eventually, right? So for me, my particular motivation was for health reasons. So that's what got me going the most. So let's look at godliness. That's just of some benefit, physical discipline, right? Godliness is a benefit in every way for the present life and the life to come. What an amazing statement. Not only here, but even for the life to come. Godliness. So it's beneficial for now and when I'm with the Lord forever. Not simply for my physical body, which was a single purpose we were looking at in the physical discipline. So it's also good for me as well as everyone else that is around. Godliness has that benefit. God is also telling us this is trustworthy, that we devote our lives to become more like Christ, godly. Living a life pleasing to my Father. And again, training applies to all of us, no matter what our age. And training for godliness is a fundamental and foundational part of our walk with God. So, what does Proverbs say about training and discipline? Actually, what is Proverbs talking about when it talks about training or discipline? There's actually two aspects to it. I want to bring out those in a definition here. There's the instruction or correction side of things, which is like discipline, the way we would use that word in English. And that would be instruction or correction. And we see this aspect when it's referred to in Proverbs. But we also see the training aspect, which implies then that there's practice and there's implementation into our lives. So we're actually doing what we hear or read or observe. It gets down to that doing. So if this holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come, why don't we do it? Why don't we do it just like that without even thinking? How can there be a challenge? Well, there is a problem. There's a problem here. If any of you that have started physical discipline, you know that there's an issue there. So, and that problem we're going to talk about is the foolish path. So let's look at Proverbs 5. And verses 12 to 13, I will I'll read that for you. So we're often like the sun that Luke was referring to last week, and we can choose the wise path or foolish path. Hey, I'll take the foolish path. This son did not like correction or the teaching. It says in Proverbs 5, and you will say, how I hated discipline, and how my heart despised correction. I didn't obey my teachers or listen closely to my instructors. And we may have a tendency to be lazy, or as CSB calls, slackers. I like that because that hits me in the face. It's a slacker. So it says, go to the ant, you slacker. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares provisions in the summer and gathers food in the harvest. So even the ant prepares for challenging times without being told, do this, do this, do this. They prepare. So, okay, my grass was getting kind of long, a little wrangly, so I mowed it. And there's this huge anthill with ants that I disturbed, and they're running all over the place, getting their eggs and moving around. And I just thought I had to put this ant verse in here that we're like ants running around. So, and I thought about myself as I've been preparing even for this teaching. I will admit that I've been a sluggard. I've been a slacker. I've been challenged in preparing this message. So I think it's really probably what my natural condition is, to be a slacker. So discipline seems undesirable to us many times because it looks hard to do. Just like the analogy of physical discipline can be hard to do. All right, now moving on to Proverbs. Got these grouped in a few categories. The first ones here, and this is not complete, there's just some samples here, but I'll read the verse. You can turn to them if you want. They're listed up on the slides. A group called warnings or commands, okay? And 3 verse 11 says, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. So discipline comes from the Lord himself. That's a possibility. 6:23, reproofs for discipline are a way of life. So it's the way life is. That's the design. That is something that we need, reproofs and discipline. And 23:12, apply your heart to and yourself to discipline. So don't blow it off when we're corrected. When we're disciplined in that sense, or we need to take it to heart when someone gives us some correction. Maybe we need to make adjustments to our course, where we're headed, what we're doing. And it says here, too, to apply ourselves to these things, not just take it lightly. The next section we're going to look at is following the foolish path. Talks about death and destruction. Not a happy topic. It's on the foolish path. 5:23 says, the young man will die for lack of discipline. 1:32, complacency of fools will destroy them. Being complacent. 21:25, a slacker's craving will kill them because their hands refuse to work. 10:21, fools die for lack of understanding. Lips of the righteous feed many. 15:10, he who hates reproof, correction, will die. 13:18, poverty and disgrace will come to him who neglects discipline. Pretty powerful, pretty stern warnings here of following that foolish path. Let's look at the next grouping here of wisdom and love aspect and following the wise path. 12 verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. So if we love discipline, we'll seek it out because we know the result will be that it's better for everyone. Right? So we're ignorant of our own weaknesses sometimes, maybe a lot of the time. So for those of you in the workplace, can you think of a time you sought out your boss for correction? Say, hey, can I have a few minutes with you? Hey, how do I need to improve? And some of you may have, but that's not what I normally did when I was in the workplace. If we really believe that correction will help us, we'll be seeking it out. Children. How about the children in the room here? So when's the last time you asked your parents how you could honor them more, how you could be more obedient? Maybe been a day or two since you've done that. Yeah? Okay. So children, if you love discipline, maybe that's an idea, something you could do. 13 verse 1, a wise son accepts his father's discipline. So when we get the discipline, it's wise to follow it. And if you love your son, you will discipline them. So as a parent, it's showing love to discipline. All right, let's go back to the fool side again. Acting as a fool. Of 15:5, a fool rejects his father's discipline. 15:32, he who neglects discipline despises himself. And 16:32, discipline seems like folly to a fool. Isn't that interesting? The fool thinks this is folly, which the very thing that would help if we act like a fool. All right, then we'll move on to the last section on this aspect in Proverbs of hope and delight in training. So in 1918, it says there's hope for parents, for fathers. Discipline your son while there is hope. Hope is on the horizon. 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Kind of interesting things to results there of rest and delight as we discipline. They're going to delight our heart. And the last verse here we'll look at is 29:19. By mere words, a servant is not disciplined, for though he understands, he will not respond. By mere words, a servant is not disciplined, for though he understands, he will not respond. So, more than words are necessary, you say. Could it be that what I do means something? My example is what's key. Actually, that's exactly what it's saying. What I do is the most powerful way to exemplify what is value to me. Who do I love? Am I demonstrating my love for my Lord, for my Jesus, by living a life that is godly, in a way to honor him? Here's a question. How many godly traits did we learn from others that were words only and not lived out? I thought about that for a little bit and I came up kind of short on that one. I didn't see it lived out. So how can we train? How can we personally be in training since our tendency, maybe default condition, seems to tend towards acting like a slacker? We need some kind of change. Change from the inside. So maybe we need to catch a hold of God's word, his mercy, his love, his care, and get that into us. So what prevents us from being disciplined? Just a quick little look at this. I'll read it. There's quite a few words up there, but it's very familiar for many of you in John 3. says, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed when I tell you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So human nature here is our flesh. He's referring to our flesh. We cannot enter the kingdom of God or have anything really profitable in eternal sense by human effort. So in the analogy Jesus uses here, we can hear and see the effect of the wind, but we cannot see the wind. We can only see the effect of the wind. The spirit effects are similar. We can only see the effects. This new birth that Jesus is talking about is mandatory for the kingdom. And it can only be obtained as a gift from God himself. So all the discipline in the world will do us no good if we have not received this gift, if we have not accepted it. So if you would like to hear more about this gift, please talk to myself or one of the other members here. I'll be glad to talk to you more later. So we've got a problem. We've got a challenge being disciplined. How did Jesus do it? Let's look at his example of his discipline, his training. So Jesus was disciplined on his mission during his first coming. Let's start with age 12. The setting here is Jesus' parents realized, or Jesus was at the temple, and his parents realized that he was missing, and they were searching for him. Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with people. That's in Luke 2, 49-52. So we see here Jesus was about his primary relationship, serving his heavenly Father. He was on mission, even at age 12. He was disciplined to honor his Father, his heavenly Father. But yet we see right in the same section here that he was obedient to his parents. At that time of his life, age 12, he was obedient to his parents. And he grew in wisdom and favor with God and the people. So he was following the wise path. Let's look at the next one. He was disciplined for his purpose. Then he took the 12 aside and told them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked, insulted, spit on, and after they flog him, they will kill him, and he will rise on the third day." Luke 18. Now Jesus 30 plus years old. So Jesus was very clear about his life and what it was to accomplish, knowing full well the cost. What love is this, that he would do such a thing for us? What incredible love is this? He came for this purpose, to die for my sin and to rise victoriously on the third day. Let's look at the next section here. Jesus said in Luke 19, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." Jesus came as a shepherd caring for the sheep to draw them in, us being the sheep, to seek after and provide a way of salvation for humankind. His life was about his purpose for the first coming, to provide the only way possible for humankind to be right with a holy and just God. A sacrifice for one purpose. For me. For us. There's two more things we'll look at in Jesus' life. In prayer, Luke 5 is just one instance. Says, referring to Jesus, he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. Jesus was very devoted to prayer. Matthew 14, 23, Jesus also, we see, was in solitude a lot. Can you imagine 3 years to do your entire ministry set forth for the rest of time on earth here and thinking, I've got so much to do, I need to go get in solitude with his Father. That's what Jesus did. So after dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. I know when I think I have a lot to do in a short amount of time, that's not the first thing I think of. That's what Jesus did. And then, let's look at the last section here, discipline. Jesus was disciplined to obey his Father even to the end. In Luke 22:42, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus was on a mission. Jesus disciplined himself to honor his Father's will, despite his own preference. Jesus trusted his Father, and Jesus submitted to his Father's will. So how am I living my life in such a way that I honor God and the one who gave everything for me? How can I be disciplined in my life? Well, what we're going to do is not go into a lot of depth. I'm going to refer you to a book and then hit a few highlights of it. If you all don't have this book, I encourage you to get one or borrow one. It's called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And it's just really good. It's probably almost more of a reference book than something you sit down and read like a novel, that's for sure. But it's really good. So it's some of the highlights from that book. And what Donald Whitney does in this book is to look at gleaning through Scripture of all the spiritual disciplines and combining them into, in this case, 11 different categories and suggestions. So let's go to the first one. The first one is Bible intake. So that's the hearing, the reading, the studying, the memorizing, the meditation, the applying of God's Word. I think it's listed first, I would agree, for a purpose being one of the most impactful, important in our lives. So if we look at that Bible intake like food, God's Word like food in a spiritual sense, we need food to survive physically. So in my case, I may not realize that I need food, but I do need to eat. And without it, we're going to wither away and suffer eventual death. So discipline ourselves each day to read regularly, just like we regularly need food. The second discipline here he's listing is prayer. So prayer is expected, it's learned, and answered by God himself. Wow. God himself. But I wow at that, but yet I find it difficult to want to pray, to start to pray. But after I pray, I'm almost always like, wow, I'm really glad I prayed. I'm really glad I lifted that up, that I made that request, that I spent time just telling God how incredible He is. So it's refreshing for me when I finish, but hard to start. That's me. It's so exciting because it's a delight to God. That's amazing. Prayer delights God. So discipline myself to pray regularly, alone and with others. The third one here is worship. It's focusing on and responding to God. It's done in spirit and truth, in public and private, and a discipline to be cultivated. This is one aspect of worship when we gather together on Sunday morning, how we can be together and do this together. It's so encouraging. So it's a discipline to focus on, like I just said. And so it's a happy being and the happy and joyful things and the hard things. We need our Savior. Fourth one is evangelism. Evangelism is sharing the amazing gift of this message of redemption we've been talking about. In Scripture, we see it's expected of believers. We're empowered to do it, and it's a discipline. Fifth one is serving. Don't need to explain that, other than every Christian is expected, every Christian is gifted, and every Christian is empowered to serve. Stewardship. Time and money. We all have this, and it's all given by God. Be a wise steward of it. Fasting. Fasting we see is for a purpose. And again, I'll refer back to the book on that one. Silence and solitude. Be still and know I am God. At short times, longer times, help us gain perspective. Jesus himself, as we saw, did this and got alone with his Father. Journaling. So journaling, writing things down in a book, can help us understand, evaluate, can help us in meditation and in pondering things, truths from God's Word, expressing thoughts and feelings to God, and remembering the things He has done. So journaling. The tenth one is learning. Characterizes a wise person, someone who's learning. And fulfill the greatest commandment, essential for learning godliness, mostly by discipline, and it's not an accident to be in the learning. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And perseverance, number 11, perseverance in these disciplines, continuing, refining, updating, and helping keep things fresh, because Lord's mercy is new every morning. So how through faith can we live these things? We seem to not do the things we want to do the things we don't want to do. So it comes down to trust, trusting Christ, doing them, planning these into our schedule. And I really think the more we practice and train, the more Christ effectively we can overflow from our life. So encouraging one another and spurring one along in these. So discipline then is training for godliness. It's not ultimately for me, but to honor God as his adopted child, to reflect him to others for my Father. So let's close in prayer here. Lord, thank you for redeeming me. Lord, thank you for your care for me. Lord, thank you that you are near as my shepherd. Thank you have paid the price for my sin. And as a result of receiving that gift, I am now free. Thank you that now I can live my life by faith. By faith in the one who bought me. So, Lord, change me, change us, mold me, and give me the desire to present a heart devoted to you. Amen.